Bibles, please, and go to 2 Samuel chapter 20. 2 Samuel chapter 20 in the scripture as we transition into our message this morning. I want to thank everyone who was able to come and be a part of this service. And as we have for the last few weeks been mentioning, we're thankful for those in our church who have tried to be mindful of the fact we do have a lot of visitors here with us today. And you did a good job of helping them find seats, and our ushers did a wonderful job. And God has given us just some amazing days here at Faithway Baptist Church. And if this is your first time to be with us here at Faithway Baptist Church, I want to say that I hope this feels like home to you this morning. And I hope that you've been blessed already by what's taken place. I'm going to ask you, first of all, just to remain seated because of the length of the reading this morning. But in 2 Samuel chapter 20, we find our text, and we'll read pretty much the whole chapter, all the way down to the last two verses. I want you to follow along. This is perhaps maybe not the passage that you would expect to have read on Mother's Day. And there's some elements to this story that you might think, wow, that's a little different for Mother's Day. But I think you're going to see the connection as in the time that we have together here this morning. And so follow along with me, if you would, in the Word of God in 2 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 1. It says, "And there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite, and he blew a trumpet and said, 'We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel.' So after every man of Israel went up from following David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri, but the men of Judah clave unto their king, from Jordan even unto Jerusalem. And David came to the house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them inward and fed them, but went not in unto them, so they were shut up unto the day of their death, living in widowhood. Then said the king to Amasa, 'Assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present.' So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, 'Now shall Sheba, the son of Bichri, do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou the Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us.' And there went out after him Joab's men and the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men, and they went out unto Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And when they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with the sword fastened upon his loins and the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out, the sword fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, 'Art thou in health, my brother?' And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him," which would have been a culturally customary thing to do, acceptable in that day. "But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand, so he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai his brother pursued after Sheba the son of Bichri, and one of Joab's men stood by him and said, 'He that favoreth Joab and he that is for David, let him go after Joab.' And Amasa wallowed in the blood in the midst of the highway, and when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway unto the field and cast a cloth upon him when he saw that everyone that came by him stood still. When he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri." I'm glad those 13 verses are over. We can go on now into our text. Now notice this. It says, "And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and to Bethmaachah." Abel is a city. "And all the Barites, and they were gathered together, and he went also after them. And they came and besieged him," Sheba, "in Abel of Bethmaachah, and they cast upon a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench, and all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down." Notice verse 16. "Then cried a wise woman out of the city, 'Hear, hear, say, I pray unto you, unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee.' And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, 'Art thou Joab?' And he answered and said, 'I am he.' Then she said unto him, 'Hear the words of thine handmaid.' And he answered, 'I do hear.' Then she spake, saying, 'They were wont to speak in old time, saying, They shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel? Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?' And Joab answered and said, 'Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of the mount of Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. I find that humorous. Then the woman went to all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it to Joab. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. Now this morning, our text verse is found in verse 16. Then cried a wise woman out of the city. I would like to talk to us for a few moments on a wise woman, which is found in that phrase. But before we talk about the wise woman of Abel, the city of Abel, we have to understand why we needed to read the first 13 verses, especially with how dramatic and how violent and how gory and all of that took place. Now, I could give you some reasons why that was taking place, and we will give some background today. But I want to submit to you, especially to the ladies. Ladies, could you hear me on this? You know, some things never change. The first 13 verses are what happens when the men are left in charge. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you've got blood, you've got carnage, you've got fightings, you've got rebellion, you've got revolts, and all the guys are going, yeah. Then all of a sudden, we see that everything changes. Now, in all seriousness this morning, this particular situation was a product, or was a byproduct, I should say, of David's sin. You remember David's sin with Bathsheba, and then the Bible says that God's pronouncement of judgment upon him was that he would repay fourfold. And we know the story of how David lost four children. He understood the pain of loss. One of the most hopeful verses in the Bible as it relates to children in their passing is when David said, he shall not come to me, but I shall go to him, which is why we can say safely today, and we can say with certainty today, that those children are in heaven today, and we're thankful for that hope that is found in the scripture. But one of his children, the son Absalom, unfortunately was not such a hopeful thing. Instead, we see that David sinned, and then Absalom rebelled, and Absalom was then killed by someone who we've been reading about in this text, whose name was Joab. Joab was the nephew of David, Joab and Abishai, and the Bible says that Absalom rebelled against his father. He split the kingdom. It was a terrible, terrible ordeal in the life of David and in his time as the king. And so David said, listen, go and apprehend him and defeat the enemy, but do not kill my son Absalom. And we know the story that Absalom was riding, and he had long hair, and he got his hair stuck in a tree, and Joab found him like that and murdered him in his helpless state. And so Joab was then replaced, as we see in this passage. Joab was replaced as David's lead general over all of the forces of his armies by a man by the name of Amasa. In this story, David did not call Joab. He called Amasa. And he said, Amasa, I want you to come. I want you to get everybody together and come and meet with me in 3 days, and we're going to send you out because this rebellion that's taking place, this is actually a bigger deal than Absalom's rebellion. You see, Sheba, who was, the Bible says, a son of Belial, decided one day to blow a trumpet in Israel. You say, what does that mean? Well, they didn't have Facebook, they didn't have email, they didn't have the news media, and so if they wanted the word to get out, they would send a herald who would go out, and they would blow a trumpet, and everybody would hear that trumpet and say, what's going on? It could be that enemy forces were invading. It could be that there was some news from a far country that maybe the king had died. They didn't know what the problem was, and so the town square would fill with people. The herald would proclaim with his bugle to assemble, and they would come together, and he would read. That's where you hear all of the old English, hear ye, you know, those kind of things. And this man would stand up, and Sheba sent out the word, and he said, forget about David, forget about the king. He said, we're not going to follow him anymore. We have no part in David. And they got the word out, and the Bible says the kingdom split again. David is tired of war. David is elderly. And he says, now shall Sheba do us more damage than Absalom. I mean, he is not happy about this. We said, we've got to stop this right away. In the process of this, Joab hears that he's no longer in charge, and Amasa goes out, and they begin to fight, and along the way, he's got Joab's robe on. You say, what does that mean? Well, it was the robe worn by the leader of the army, so it was like a uniform. And with that, he had Joab's sword around his waist. And as he was going through the battle somewhere along the way, we read about this, the Bible says the sword fell out. And Joab, for some reason, happened to see that. I think probably Joab had every intention of slaying Amasa all along, and he saw his opportunity. So he reaches down and picks up the sword, and he hides it and says, "Art thou in health, my brother?" What does that mean? Hey, are you doing okay? Have you ever met someone who was not genuine? Okay, Joab started it all with this. I mean, this is bad. And the Bible says he reached up, put his hand on his face, and he took to, they would do an exchange, a kiss, not like the kind of kiss that we think in our culture, but a cultural thing there. And as he went to do that, he stuck him in the side one time, and the Bible says he damaged him. More than likely, Amasa laid there alive for a very long time. And everyone that came by the way would see it, and they stopped. All of those soldiers knew their leader was dead. But Joab finally got someone to take him off the wayside and cover him with a blanket because nobody was going to the war anymore. And Joab didn't want to go against David. Joab just wanted his old job back. You talk about a messed up guy. Matter of fact, there's a lot in the Bible that says that Joab got away with far too much in his life. And Solomon later on had Joab murdered, or killed rather, not murdered, in a sense of justice because of all the murders that Joab had committed and had never been punished for. Now, I want you to see with me again, verse number 14. Sheba is, the Bible says, going into the city of Abel. That's verse 14. And as he goes through, the Bible says that the forces of Israel have now followed after him. Sheba has lost the battle. He no longer has a fighting force around him. He's by himself. He's running. He's scared. He knows that he is in trouble. And so he runs into the city of Abel, and he barricades the door, and he goes and hides in the city. Maybe this city was one of the cities that went with him in the rebellion. Maybe that was the case. And all of a sudden, Joab shows up, and pretty soon the Bible says they were beating against the wall and the gate because they were going to find Sheba. Now, in this case, you have to understand what was about to happen. If they couldn't get the gate down and find Sheba, they were going to burn the city down. That's how they did it in those days. The justice was harsh, it was fast, it was furious, it was quick, and it was over in a moment's notice. And if you were thought to have in any way enabled the enemy, you were going down as well. And so they're beating against the door. I want you to read this with me, and I want you to imagine the chaos in verse 15. It says, they came and besieged him in Abel of Bethmaachah, and they cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench. And all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Now, hold your place there, but think about it. Soldiers are beating against the wall. The women and children on the inside are scared. The men are crying and sobbing. They know they're about to die because Sheba has come to town. It's his fault. He is a rotten scoundrel. And the very next verse, the verse number 16, says this. Then cried a wise woman out of the city. Imagine it. Get it in your mind. All of the chaos, all of the screaming, all of the crying, and finally an experienced mother stands up and says, hey, anybody relate? I'm serious. I look at this and I think, boy, she had to yell over a lot of people. I know that sometimes, ladies, you give the impression that you're just this, you know, sweet little, you know, mild-mannered thing. We know what it's like when your kids are going crazy in the house. We know how it goes, okay? And she raises her voice over all of this, and she says, what's going on in here, you know? The Bible says that she said, hear, hear, say, I pray you unto Joab, come hither, that I may speak with thee. I want to give you three things about a wise woman this morning. What did this wise woman do, and how did she resolve the issue in such a way and save many lives? The reality of it is, moms, ladies, is that you stand in the gap in a huge way between your children and the devastation that could happen in their lives. You have an opportunity to salvage the generation beyond you. You have an opportunity to make the most impactful impression in their lives that they will always remember, which is why we have services like what we're having today. It's why we make a big deal about it, not just once a year, but we honor and we respect the fact that, Mom, you are important. And with wisdom, you can make a difference. Notice number one with me today as we go through this story together. First thing that we see is we see her reasonableness or her reasoning. Verse 17, she calls to Joab and she says, are you Joab? And he said, I am he. Then she said unto him, hear the words of my handmaid. And he answered, I do hear. By the way, ladies, you still have to do to us. I want you to listen to me. You still have to get our attention so that we know what you're saying, okay? It's that selective hearing you know all about. Verse 18 says, then she spake, saying, and notice what she says, they were wont to speak in old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. Now, think about this. She demonstrates the wisdom that God has given her by making the problem smaller. By making the problem smaller. What did she do? She reaches out and she realizes there's been enough murder. There's been enough revolt. There's been enough bloodshed. The people are worked up. Joab is out of line. He's about to take a sledgehammer to a trim nail. I mean, he is just going nuts. He is ready to win this war because he's got to win the heart of the king back. And finally, a lady steps up who brings everything into proper perspective. She says, you know, Joab, she says, in the old days, this is essentially what the verse means. You know, Joab, in the old days, people would come to Abel to get counsel, and we would sit down with one another, and we would talk. And she said, and so they ended the matter. In other words, we came together, and we used to talk about things, and we figured things out and went our way. Don't you wish those days were around right now? I mean, think of just the wisdom that this lady has. And she says in verse 19, she says, this city is known for a place of counsel and wisdom. You know that we're reasonable people and that we can be talked to. And she says, I'm a peaceful person. I'm not here to cause you any problems. And she says, and this city has been like a mother in Israel because it's been a place of wisdom. And she asks the question, why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? I want you to notice the fact that this woman becomes reasonable at the moment that it is exactly needed. And in that moment, she takes both a rebellious general and a murderous scoundrel and all of the chaos around her, and she brings it into proper perspective. Ladies, this is one of the gifts that God has given to you, is to be able to take all of the chaos and to package it up and to put it out of sight, to finally get down to business. If you have children in your home right now, or if you have had children in your home, you know that the best of homes can be defined at best as chaotic in many cases. Sometimes that's the way our house goes. Sometimes I'll come home and I can tell. I can tell right away who's in trouble. We have four children. We have Eli, Travis, Jude, and Gracelyn. And as soon as I come home, I can tell either by the look on their face or by the look on their mother's face that someone is in trouble. But you know, the reality of it is my wife is here today, and I am more and more increasingly so grateful for the ministry that she has in our home, because the things that she deals with and takes care of on a regular basis are so far beyond me, so far beyond the capacity of a man. She brings it into perspective. She's literally bringing Joab to a place of decision. I like Joab's response because it's such a lie. Okay, verse 20, she says, now, are you going to swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? And notice what he says. Joab answered, I want to call him Joe for a minute, but I'm not going to. Joab answers and says, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. Have you been reading the rest of the chapter? Okay, this guy literally had all through the chapter, all he did was swallow up and destroy. He said, oh, no, that's not what I'm trying to do. I don't want to hurt you. And she says, you could have fooled me. So we notice, number one, her reasoning. Number one, I want you to notice her recognition. Now, this is an interesting thing, and I think it's implied, and so I have to say that up front. But this lady is a godly lady who knows the law of God. She understands what she's been taught from God's law that was given to Moses and given to his people. And one of the things that she knew was that this was not the right way to deal with things. You say, well, how do we know that? What should Joab have done? Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 10 says, when you come nigh to a city to fight against it, then, as in first, proclaim peace to it. The very first response or responsibility of the fighters, of the general, of the warriors of that day, was to come against the city. And maybe there was a just cause that needed to be taken care of. Maybe there was something that needed to be dealt with that truly did need to be dealt with. But the story as we see it did not go the way of Scripture. Do you notice that? The first thing Joab should have done is he should have walked in and said, hey, listen, we don't mean you any harm, but if you don't give us Sheba, you're all going to die. But he didn't do that. I want to suggest to you, secondly, her recognition was that she recognized that the way things were being handled was not in accordance with the will of God. because it was not in accordance with the Word of God. A spiritual woman has the ability to perceive when things are being done correctly and when they are not. Husbands, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, some of us are, we're pretty, I'm trying to think of a nice word, stubborn. That is a nice word. We're pretty hard-headed. And when a man gets in his mind that he's going to do things a certain way, boy, it's a hard thing. Have you ever looked over at your wife and she's not judging you? She's not condemning you. She's just giving you that little, yeah. And she's not just going to come out and say it. So you have to go, what? And what does she say? She says, well, you're doing this, this. No, she goes, nothing. Nothing. You know why? Because men, your wife probably has the same instinct. That is to know that sometimes we're Joab. I mean, we're gonna take a flamethrower to a mosquito. All right. By the way, wouldn't that be cool, guys? I'm just asking. I mean, that's how we want to do things. You know what? Here we go. If we can't get the problem fixed, the whole thing is getting torn down. And Joab said, I don't have time for this. I can't mess around with this. I'm telling you what, the city's going to, if we destroy the whole city, Sheba is dead and I get my job back. He is only mindful of his objective. But a spiritual woman has the ability to perceive when things are not being done correctly. She says, why will you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? She is doing something that, ladies, you have the ability to do. She's appealing to the will of God over the will of man. She's saying, you know, we need to ask God what it is that he wants us to do. Ladies, I think it would be a good thing is if you helped your husbands with that, helped us men with that. Maybe we should stop and pray. Maybe we should stop and consider. Maybe sometimes, like my wife, instead of having 4 kids in the home, she feels like she has 5 kids in the home. She just needs to make a statement. But ultimately, the idea is that you appeal to God. She recognized that things weren't being handled correctly. She recognized, secondly, there was something in her city that was endangering the existence of her family. Now, here's the part where now this lady, who seems to be such a negotiator, she seems to be such an ambassador, diplomatic, if you will. Maybe some would have even said she's too soft for war. She can't handle this. Get out of the way. Let the men do the job. But you know, there's something that we call a mama bear. Anybody know what that is? Never get between a mama bear and her cubs. Never get between a mother and her children. Don't raise your hand right now, ladies, but if you know what I'm talking about, say amen. All right. Yeah, that's what I thought. And this lady recognized that while we're not handling things correctly, there's something in our city that is endangering us. So she says to Joab, listen, we've got to work together. And he says, no, you don't have it. You don't have all of the information. This man who's in your city, and by the way, Joab had a reasonable problem that needed to be solved. That's to be understood. This man who's revolted against the king is in your city. He's hiding. He is against David. And we've got to take him in. We've got to make sure that he's dealt with. And I'll tell you what, and all of a sudden, he has an idea. How many of you know it wasn't his idea until it was first her idea? But he has this brilliant idea, and he says, you know what? I've got an idea. Deliver him only. These are the words. And I will depart from the city. Wow. This lady should be paid by the United Nations is all I'm saying. I mean, she has got such an ability to do this. What does she recognize, though? She says, okay, now we've come to a place where we can solve the problem. And her response is, we see her reasoning, we see her recognition, but then I want you to see, lastly, her recourse. Her wisdom drove her to action. What was her response? Behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. Never get between a woman and her children. This lady, she's not soft. She's not incapable. She goes back and gathers her crew and says, I have a deal to propose. And she says, if we will give him the head of Sheba, he'll leave us all alone. They went and took the head of Sheba. Yes, they beheaded him right there. They took him up on the wall and said, whoop, here you go. I mean, can you imagine that? Don't do it too much, but I'm telling you. I'm kind of thinking about it right now. I'm telling you. And now the Bible says, they throw the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, over the wall. They cast it out to Joab. And what happens? Joab blows his trumpet. He says, okay, battle's over. We're going home. Can I tell you what she did in three simple steps? Number one, she solved the problem, which was all that Joab wanted to do in the first place, but his motivation stopped there. Number two, she guaranteed that it would never happen again. You say, what do you mean by that? He didn't ask for Sheba to be beheaded. Did you notice that when we read it? He said, deliver him only. Do you know if they had gone in and they had wrapped him up in chains and ropes and cast him out, that Joab would have taken care of that? But you know, this lady didn't trust Joab. So she said, no, let's make sure this doesn't happen again. And thirdly, she showed everybody, don't mess with our city. Don't mess with my children. I think that's an amazing formula. Solving the problem, guaranteeing it'll never happen again, and showing everyone what happens if they were to think about it. And guess what? Her action brought peace. Now, I want you to turn to one passage of Scripture for a total of 2 minutes. Turn to James chapter 3. In chapter 1, as you're finding your place there, God gives us a wonderful verse. This is a wise woman, someone filled with wisdom. And the Bible says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, maybe you're sitting here today thinking, I could never be what this lady is. I could never do what this lady has done. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally or abundantly, and upbraideth not. He won't chide. He won't make fun of you. And it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, the Bible says. You say, well, I need wisdom like this lady had. Wisdom for my family. I need wisdom for my friends, for my home. Can I tell you that if you ask God, he will give it to you. But it won't be your wisdom. That's the qualifier. James chapter 3, verse 13, I think maybe I said 4, but James chapter 3 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, or that is a constantly good example of living, his works with meekness of wisdom. Verse 16 says this. It says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work, but the wisdom that is from above. May I ask you, where is the wisdom that you need today? In whom is the wisdom that you need today? It is in Jesus and Jesus alone. The wisdom that is from above, the Bible says, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I'm going to close my Bible and give you hope this morning. Here's the thing that we can learn. Mothers, you play a role that no one can substitute. You have potential that no one else has for your family. And God is willing to bless you with wisdom to solve problems. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know about the problems in my family. I've learned I don't have to know the specific problems. Guess what? I've learned that every family has problems. And God can use you as a ministry, but you've got to have his wisdom. I could exhort on that. I could preach on that. We could talk about every word, first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, without partiality, all of those different things. Those are wonderful traits that I'll let you study on your own. Or maybe you have someone in your life who you thought, when we read that reminds me of my mom. That reminds me of the person that I've come to honor today. Can I encourage you this morning that God has for your family, just like we talked about the whole service. The sermon was not the sermon today. The sermon was the service. God, who is the great I am, still lives today. And as we trust in him, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. And as we rely on what he gives to us, we see the potential of new life coming in and think, how could we ever raise children in today's world? Can I tell you, it's right here. It's in his word. And we think, how can I make sure that my children are following God, and how can I help them to do that? Well, it's not an easy road to raise up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But God can give you wisdom. Wisdom to protect your family. Wisdom to bring peace to the situation. wisdom to make sure that the problem is solved, but not only is the problem solved, but that it won't continue to repeat itself over and over and over again. And like the Proverbs 31 woman, you can be an example to others. Father in heaven, our prayer today is that you would raise up ladies and